You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas lost three straight games, but they're going to get a win this weekend. They play UAPB at War Memorial Stadium. The Golden Lions are 1-5 in maybe the worst conference in the FCS, the SWAC. And this is a game that's really a foregone conclusion. And if it's not, there's some real problems this weekend. Matt Jones with Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Clay, this is I have to believe it's kind of a tough game to get up for if you're Arkansas, because you're traveling, you're going to be playing in a stadium that's not going to be completely full. I think they're expecting somewhere around 35, 40,000 people at the game. And you're playing an opponent that you should beat really easily. This is, you hate to call it a throwaway week, because there are good things that can come from this. You can get another win toward bowl eligibility. We expect that a lot of second, maybe third teamers are going to get some valuable game time action in this game. But I don't know, it's just kind of a hard game to get up for, I guess.
Yeah, I think the players like to play, though. I think they'd rather play than practice. And, you know, the logistics of getting to Little Rock, it kind of hit me yesterday. And I was talking to Ben Lorenzo, who's the director of the UA athletic band and marching band. And he said they're getting up at 3 a.m. on campus to get to the game and, you know, be prepared to march. And I was like, wow, that kind of puts it in perspective that it's not easy to move all your operations to Little Rock, and the same thing for the football team. It's no doubt easier for UAPB to play this game for the Razorbacks. But I think that you have a group of players that want to, you know, they want to perform. I mean, just like the band, they want to perform, and it's a chance. You get 12 times a year per season to go out and play. And I think that, you know, they like putting on their game uniforms. They like to, you know, the aspect of playing the game probably still trumps some of the other stuff that we worry about, you know, you like scoring touchdowns, you like making interceptions, you know, that it's, so there's some things that probably lend to getting the players more excited than maybe we are excited.
You know, with all due respect to UAPB, I kind of equate this game to when I was in college. I had a couple of blow-off classes on Fridays, and my last semester in college, I took walking and I took jogging, and they were back to back in the hyper. And a lot of times that was kind of the last thing I had to get through to get to the weekend, which you're looking forward to more than, you know, obviously the class itself. But I think it's just kind of like that final test that you have to take before you get a long break that, you know, you've been kind of looking forward to for a while. And, you know, to get through it, I think you kind of have to put a smile on and just kind of do it to kind of get the reward that you want and to get that rest that you need to, you know, just all those kinds of things. That's just kind of how I see it.
A lot of people probably don't realize this is Arkansas's longest trip of the year. You know, every other game they get on a charter jet and they fly to Oxford or Tuscaloosa or Baton Rouge. They bus to Little Rock and they bus back. And so you're talking about it's 3 hours to get there. Well, you know, if you're flying to Tuscaloosa, you're going to be there in less than an hour and a half. And so it's just kind of a weird dynamic. I don't know what Pine Bluff is doing. It would not surprise me if they are staying in Pine Bluff and just busing up the day of the game due to the financial situation at schools in the FCS. I remember when Florida A&M came to War Memorial 4 years ago. That's another team from the SWAC. They actually bussed from Florida up to Little Rock. And so certainly a lot different for Pine Bluff to get on the bus and take that short drive up to Little Rock. So much talk this week, obviously, about Little Rock, and it happens every time the Razorbacks play there. The, you know, how valid is it that they play there? Is it something they should keep doing in the future? We know they're going to stay there for at least a few more years. They're not going to play there in 2022 because of the way the contract reads. They'll play Western Carolina there to start the 23 season. They'll play Pine Bluff there to start the 24 season, and they'll play Arkansas State there in week two of 2025. Clay, long-term, do you see War Memorial keeping a presence with the Razorbacks? And, you know, if so, do you think it's good for the program?
Well, yeah, it's you've asked the $64 million question, right? I mean, you know, we got the elephant in the room. Now, I got to back up. Scotty talked about taking walking and jogging. I think you paid closer attention in the walking class than the jogging class, because I have not heard you continued your jogging or not. Now back to the
I have not question. Continued to do that. The best part about that class was, you know, catching up with Sleepy McKinney. He was in that class too. And at the time he was injured, and so he was rolling around on one of those knee scooters. And so we had a good time in that class. Yeah. But
well, there were probably some co-eds there too, right?
Might have been a couple.
Yeah. So back to your question, Matt, you know this, and you're just kind of, you know, you're trying to needle me a little bit. You know that I grew up in the area of War Memorial Park, and you know that Wendy's that's across the street was the house. There was a house there at one point, and that's the house I lived in when I was born. And later lived at 18th and Fair Park, which is just a few blocks down the road. You know, Van Buren turns into Fair Park, you know, and that goes by the stadium. So I've always been, around War Memorial Stadium. And I truly love going back there for games. And it's an ordeal. It's a road trip now since I don't live in Little Rock anymore. And I understand why there's, you know, going to be a small crowd probably for this game, but I think it's important for the state. I think it's important for Little Rock. I also understand why they don't play a conference game there. And, you know, when I grew up, they were playing Stanford, Southern Cal, University of California, and they had other games that were important in Little Rock, like the Texas game. And it was a better stadium than what you had in Fayetteville, you know, by some 15,000, you know, 42,000, capacity in Fayetteville. A lot of times they'd have 40 and you'd have sellout of 55,000 three or four times a year. Now that's never going to happen again, but I understand the reasons for this game, and that the Board of Trustees was appointed by the governor, and the governor knows that there's some of his constituents all across the state that applaud this move. I think he probably has lost sight that there's some constituents with the University of Arkansas that probably don't see his point, but it's still, that's why they're playing the game. And as long as appropriations have to be okayed by the governor for higher education, you get where I'm going here. There are benefits beyond what's right for the University of Arkansas football team when you consider that the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville needs appropriations from the state. So do you think that's where I was going, Matt?
You know, I don't know that anybody's been as good for War Memorial Stadium as Asa Hutchinson. Some of the moves that he made shortly after he took office, moving the stadium into the Parks Department, which has become Parks and Tourism Heritage.
It was a grand plan.
They've been able to do a lot of things in terms of getting upgrades through heritage grants. And, it's really been clever, what they've been able to do. You know, I'm with you. I don't like conference games there. I don't think you're ever going to see an SEC game played there again. I kind of like what they're doing right now with UAPB and Western Carolina, UAPB again. These are games that are not going to fill up wherever you play them, right? I mean, they're certainly not going to fill up Fayetteville. So you move them to a smaller stadium. You are able to keep that presence in Little Rock on a 1 year or once a year basis. And so, I think that's okay. I think
and
that's
you win
a
the
fine
game.
Plan. playing Missouri there, playing Ole Miss there, those games, you know, those games really need to be on campus. I think everybody understands that. And so I don't know what's going to happen with Little Rock, but I do think you're right that there's it's a lot deeper than maybe surface level discussion that we can have about this. And playing UAPB, you mentioned the Board of Trustees. You know, this was something that was kind of, I've seen a couple of articles about this week, including one of the Pine Bluff commercial. There was a question asked of Jeff Long at the 2017 Little Rock Touchdown Club, which was, I think, the week that they played Florida A&M, and they had played Alcorn State the year before. And it was basically, I don't think it was about, will you schedule UAPB, but will you stop scheduling our conference rivals? When you give them those paydays, $550,000 or $700,000 or whatever the case might be, I've seen where UAPB is getting $600,000, plus they got Arkansas's old lockers for this game. That helps fund other teams within the SWAC. And so when you look at it from a University of Arkansas system standpoint, if you play Alcorn State, the University of Arkansas is funding, in part, the conference rival for another University of Arkansas school, UAPB. And so I certainly understand why they're playing this game.
Matt, I think that's those are all valid points. And, you know, funding when you're in a Board of Trustees position becomes delicate. And the one thing they do not like to do, but they do it every year, is raise the cost of tuition. And so all of these ideas about where is the money coming from, you know, where is it flowing from, and budgetary measures are, you know, they're important in the, and they're concerns for the Board of Trustees. And so that's something that fans and probably us in, you know, writing sports columns, it's very boring stuff, but nonetheless, it's part of the picture of why Arkansas and UAPB are playing. I'll never forget this. Playing on the college golf team at UCA, we had a district tournament, and UAPB was there. They were NAIA at that point, just like UCA was. And the golfers from UAP, we had golf shirts, we had golf balls. You know, they said UCA or State College of Arkansas. Anyway, we had equipment and things in golf bags, and the UAPB players, they had, not uniforms, but no golf shirts, no golf balls, and they didn't have any travel money for food. And I just thought, well, you know, that's just not right. So we know that there's some inequities as far as college athletics, and you have to be, you know, you have to at least smile that they're getting this game, and maybe it's you know, you grin and bear it if you don't like the idea that they're, you know, not on the same level as far as number of scholarships, and the game was lopsided. But I get why they're playing the game, and I understand that probably it's necessary.
We're a little bit nonchalant about UAPB. We don't think they're going to have a chance in this game, and here's why. In the last 10 years, they have played 5 FBS opponents, not really even great opponents. They played Arkansas State twice. I think they played maybe Akron. There've been again not great FBS opponents. And in those 5 games, they've lost by an average score of 53-5, Scotty. This is one of those games where you just feel like Arkansas is going to be able to name its score, you know, maybe score on 5 of its first 6, 6 of its first 7, 6 of 6, whatever possessions, get its starters out, and, you know, then just kind of run clock after that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, Arkansas's got to go into this game focused, though. You know what I mean? Like, it is a game, like I mentioned earlier, kind of a blow-off game before you get into the bye week and you get rested and healthy again before you finish out the season. But you still got to come and play. I mean, in order to get a jump start on the rest that you would like to get, you've got to put the game away first. And, you know, I think it comes down to KJ Jefferson, you know, being sharper, much sharper than he was last week. And if he is sharp, I mean, he could be as sharp as he was last week, and Arkansas would still probably roll in this game but you want to see him, you know, bounce back a little bit from, you know, just a kind of an off game in terms of, you know, passing the ball. You know, he maybe could have run for a couple first downs, but he threw the ball instead and threw inaccurately. And his reads in the RPO game weren't completely crisp either. So you want to see him get back to his usual self there. And defensively, I think Arkansas just needs to kind of put their foot down. And for the first time, I think since I've been making predictions in the HI magazine, I think I predicted a shutout. And I don't see, and it's not like unrealistic to me, I don't think, or I wouldn't have said it. I mean, I just think there's so many deficiencies with UAPB. And I think Sam Pittman wants his defense to get back to playing really tough, rugged defensive football where, you know, you got presence on the edge, but you're not making plays. Well, you need to make them this week. And you may have A and B gap presence, and you haven't made plays there in the last few weeks. You got to make them. I just think there's a real possibility that Arkansas can really put its foot down and make this thing really, really, you know, kind of very, very not dramatic this week.
Yeah, you could be right, Scotty. There's some areas though that where UAPB will focus, and I think punt block is one of them. And I think that's almost a good point for Arkansas, that they know that they've got to be sharp in their protections, because what is it, 4 block punts this year, Matt? And I think it's
UAPB's blocked 3 and scored 2 touchdowns on them.
Scored 2, yeah, and it's a significant.
They lead the FBS in that category, I believe.
Yeah, a significant part of what they do, and they prepare for that. So they'll pin back their ears and try to block a punt. So special teams is something that you know needs some polish. I think that you've got some young players in the secondary that need some work, that, you know, are trying to pick up the slack for the injury of Jalen Catalan. You know, I think it's a game that, you know, maybe Hudson Henry makes a significant step forward. He's been hurt a lot. He's playing in his hometown. Looks like he's finally healthy. Is he going to get some snaps to, you know, possibly rest Blake Kern, who's, you know, probably beat up? There's some areas, and you know, you've got some young wide receivers that need some playing time, need some polish. You know, some, you know, Kadron Jackson, and you know, it's there's things to look at in this game, personnel wise, that the coaches are probably glad to get a chance to get some playing time for some guys, and not just to rest the older players and starters. It's to, you know, find some guys and, you know, it's like, okay, we, you know, maybe we don't, you know, they don't get to blossom in practice, but maybe they, you know, they do in this game, and it's maybe a player or two that you find for the stretch run.
And to your point on Hudson Henry too, I think we could probably see him in an expanded role this week too, because you not only want to rest Blake Kern, probably your top tight end, I would imagine you start him more often than not. But Trey Knox, you know, he's dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury from the Ole Miss game, and I think he's kind of considered questionable for this game, but I just don't know that you push it with him. I think he's too potentially valuable at that tight end position to, you know, risk re-injury, especially when you've got some important games coming up.
There's really a discussion to be had about whether or not FBS teams should even be playing FCS teams. The discrepancy between them is so great. I mean, you're talking about FBS, you've got 85 scholarship players. FCS, you've got 63 scholarship players. And then you get into, you know, the funds for hiring and retaining and coaches and the, you know, the developmental aspect of it. And, you know, what UAPB is doing is so far removed from what Arkansas's players do on a daily basis that it just really seems unfair, I think, to the FCS schools to even have to play in this game. And I know that the players get excited about it, you know, the chance to, you know, potentially upset. But for every App State over Michigan, there's probably 99 what should be Arkansas UAPB games this week. And, you know, it's just a tough deal to have these teams play. I think it's unfortunate, I think, for the fans to even have these games, because, you know, they want to see quality games. They want to see a non-conference schedule, Clay, I think, like what you're going to see next year where you're playing teams that are going to challenge you pretty much every week. They're going to play BYU, and they're going to play Cincinnati, and they're going to play Liberty. And that's a really quality non-conference schedule. And I think that's where fans would like to see schools moved more toward.
Yeah, I guess that any year that you're fortunate enough to get the University of Texas to come to Fayetteville, you have to have, I mean, you have to cut off a finger or a digit or something. And this is the finger that you're cutting off for that reward. And so I guess I'm so ecstatic still that they laid 40 on Texas that I'm just going to grin and bear it this week, Matt.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them on the web at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Whoopee!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Well, this week, the Razorback football family lost another member, Clay. Bobby Roper, who was a member of the 1964 National Championship, passed away in hospice care in Raleigh, North Carolina. He was 78 years old. Roper was an All-Southwest Conference defender in 1965, but I think what he might be remembered most for are a couple of games in 1964. He blocked two field goals and recovered a fumble during the regular season win over Texas Tech in the season finale in 1964. 17-0 was the final. And those two blocked field goals were significant because they helped preserve Arkansas's five-game shutout streak at the end of the regular season. But a play that he probably doesn't get as much credit for, Clay, is that he was the player who came off the edge and rushed the Texas passer on the two-point play in the game in Austin in 1964 that allowed Arkansas to win 14-13, two really big plays during that national championship season.
Yeah, that's true, Matt. And I think he and Jim Finch both were among the defensive ends that helped make that play. The block kicks, preserved the shutout string at Lubbock. And, his teammates, always talk about that. And, another thing that is kind of lost in the shuffle and was a big deal at the time. He was the first in an exchange between Bear Bryant and Frank Broyles of coaches and graduate assistants, so to speak, and that they took a policy that was really interesting in that they would take their top prospective coach in trade. And Coach Broyles sent Bobby Roper to Alabama. And I think Richard Williamson came from Alabama to Arkansas, and both of them became great coaches. Bobby Roper eventually, Johnny Majors was an Arkansas defensive assistant in 64. And when he became head coach at Pitt, hired Roper as defensive coordinator, and they won a national championship 76. So Bobby won a national championship as a player and as a defensive coordinator. And I think that's unique. He retired to Fayetteville after his coaching career was over, and he coached at Texas A&M, had some great teams there. And he would come to practice And I was fortunate to sit at practice and pick his brain. And he loved to talk about Coach Burles and Coach Majors and just kind of, you know, another one of those guys that would share those Wilson Matthews stories about how he was molded as his toughness and grit, and that he passed that along to, you know, when he coached, and what he demanded of players in the Wilson Matthews mold. So I always, you know, have a special place for Bobby Roper for just sitting and sharing that stuff. He would come find me at practice. I would say we probably did that 20 times. And so I'm very fortunate to have gotten to know, you know, Bobby Roper, and the players on that 64 team are incredible with how successful they were in life. And, you know, he was another one that had a great career as a coach. Maybe, you know, Arkansas fans probably don't understand that, because it was not at Arkansas. It was in other places.
And it wasn't as a head coach, but he had a long, long career as an assistant coach. I think he coached for something like 20 years as an assistant coach at the Division I level. There have been so many of the 64 players who have passed away in the last 5 or 6 years. It seems like we lose two or three of them every season or every year, you know, since that 2014 season when they came back for their 50-year anniversary of the championship game. And I think maybe – why it's so noteworthy is because there were so many noteworthy players on that team, Clay. You know, for the magazine several years ago, I had the chance to go back through and kind of recreate a game by game account of the 64 season. And it seemed like, you know, there were probably 35 or 40 players on that team who made one play or multiple plays that were so integral to that championship season.
That is so correct, Matt. And there was, this has been, well, it was when you were doing that. I actually sat down with Jim Lindsay for, I think maybe it was 2 hours. And what we did is he did not want to talk about himself. So that was the ground rule. Don't ask me about anything that I did, any of my plays, any of my contributions. He wasn't going to do that. And he agreed to the interview on the premise that I would just throw out names and he would talk about that particular player. And I bet we did, like you say, 25 or 30, and he had something that they had done, a memorable play, a memorable moment in practice, you know, something they had done in their career. It might be as a professional in business, as a doctor or something. And it was just like, wow, this is an incredible bunch. And it's like, no accident. They won a national championship with those guys. And Bobby Roper was, you know, a prime example of that. And, you know, there were some that had pro careers like Glenn Ray Hines. You know, there were some incredible people, you know, championships, both as coaches and as players. But it's Bobby Roper was a kind of a quiet, shy, reticent, you know, to take the spotlight, but was such a solid player. 6'4", 250, a big man in that era, and could anchor the defensive line where, you know, you didn't worry about anybody running or blocking that corner or that side of the field, because he would anchor that and blow up his man.
Roper's sons, or he had three sons, I'm sorry, two of his sons, Kurt Roper and Zach Roper, both went into coaching. Kurt Roper is an assistant coach right now at North Carolina State. Zach Roper is an assistant coach at Duke. Kurt was once the offensive coordinator at Florida. In fact, the first time that I met Bobby Roper was in a Barnes & Noble, and he was in there looking for a Sports Illustrated that had written an article about the Florida offense, and it had quoted his son in it. And so that was a neat story. We'll go to predictions now. And there's not very many games in the SEC this week, just 4 conference games plus the Arkansas-UAPB game. Let's start with LSU at Ole Miss. It's on CBS.
I'll probably go with Ole Miss. I don't feel great about it, though, because Lane Kiffin has said during the week that Matt Corral's not in the greatest physical shape after the beating he took at Tennessee last week. LSU might still just be playing for Ed Orgeron a little bit. They might be doing that. I don't know. I don't know how another way you could explain the way that they beat Florida last week, but I like Ole Miss in that game.
Yeah, I'm going to say LSU covers. And I think that what I saw last week that was significant is that LSU has decided to run the ball. And they had been pass happy the first half of the season, and that didn't work. And they lined up against Florida and ran the ball. And if there's one thing that you've got a chance to really punish Ole Miss with, and that's with the running offense. And so I think there may be a little bit of a hangover from the, you know, from the Tennessee victory. That was such an incredible win. And 2 weeks in a row for Ole Miss to win these kind of nail biters, that there may be a little hangover. Now, what you have to remember is that Ole Miss LSU is a rivalry game for Ole Miss. It's more of a rivalry game for Ole Miss than say Arkansas is for them. So they may have a little bit of energy, but I think LSU is going to cover and it'll be a tight fit. Somehow Ole Miss will probably win. If Corral's not out there, all bets are off, right?
Well, yeah, I think there were a lot of hangovers after that Tennessee-Ole Miss game. A couple of quick picks here. Mississippi State's at Vanderbilt, SEC Network. Mississippi State's got some quarterback problems.
Yeah, I still like Mississippi State. And I can't in good conscience ever pick Vanderbilt. Sorry.
No, I'm with Clay there too. I'm going to take Mississippi State. It doesn't really matter to me who their quarterback is.
The game's at 3 o'clock. 6:30 game, South Carolina at Texas A&M. That one's also on the SEC Network.
Texas A&M.
Yeah, South Carolina is another team with some quarterback troubles too. I think their starter? I think he may be done for the year.
They've gone back to the GA.
Yeah, he got beat out basically.
Yeah,
he bailed him out against Vanderbilt. That's why you don't pick Vanderbilt. A GA can beat you.
Yeah, I'm going with Texas A&M.
They call it the third Saturday in October. It'll be the fourth Saturday this year. Tennessee is at Alabama. That game's going to be a 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. I have a feeling that Nick Saban is going to let the Vols have it.
Yeah, that might be true, but I think they really focused and played great last week against Mississippi State in their, okay, let's avenge the loss to Texas A&M. I think Tennessee is offensively pretty good. I think that their quarterback Hooker was just a cramp, but he should be fine. I think they'll score some points. So I say Tennessee covers. They will not win.
A little bit more of an intriguing game between these two teams than we've seen maybe in years past. But Alabama's skill guys, like I think they've got a kid named Jameson Williams who I think he got added to the Biletnikoff Award watch list not too long ago. I don't know how he wasn't on it before that, but he's a special player, dynamic guy, especially in catching the ball, but on kickoff return too. He's a special kid. I think he might have a big game, and I think Alabama will roll.
Yeah, he's been a real good compliment to John Metchie in that offense. All right, the other game, obviously Arkansas Pine Bluff against Arkansas in Little Rock. We all think Arkansas is going to win. So here's the real question, Clay Henry. Who wins the Battle of the Bands at halftime? Is it the Razorback Marching Band or is it M4 from UAPB?
That's a tough question, Matt. You know, you and I are old band members. I understand you played a mean saxophone, and I played a weak cornet at Pulaski Heights Junior High Band, and it was about – I think we had 10 chairs, and I was chair number 12. In the band at Pulaski Heights, and I faded from band when I realized that if you played basketball, you didn't get to play in the pep band, which was dynamic at Little Rock Central. So that did that discontinued my band career. The great cornet playing. I kind of like the style of this is style over substance. I kind of like the style of the M4 band, which is the marching. No, Matt, help me. What's their name?
It's the Marching Musical Machine of the Mid-South, and you got to have some chops to back up a name like that.
Yeah, and then their voice, the guy that they'll give the PA to kind of chronicle through and navigate through their performance and tell you what's about to come, he adds magnificent. So I'm going with the UAPB band.
I'm going with Arkansas 48-0 in this game, like I picked in the magazine. In terms of the band, I think it's about who had a better week of practice, who's more focused. You know, are you really dialed into what you worked on throughout the week? And I just think it's kind of I think it'll be a toss up.
Yeah, the Arkansas band has some injuries. There are some drummers not making the trip.
Anytime you get a chance to hear a swag band, it is a treat. Anyone, I mean, Southern, Grambling, UAPB, all of them are great bands. And so that'll be really cool that they're getting to march at War Memorial. Visit us at WholeHogSports.com before, during, or after the game this weekend. We'll have plenty of coverage. Also going to have coverage from the Razorbacks exhibition basketball game against East Central University on Sunday. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.